Good morning. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Together,
we're the Chris and Rob late night talk show. And I think, what are there? There's four people in the studio, and there's four people with wet, nagging, hacking coughs.
Who's got a wet, nagging, hacking cough?
You do. I do. Jim, Troy.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. What'd you get?
Well, I got a haircut.
You got a wet, nagging, hacking cough?
What'd you get?
I got this cool shirt that looks like 40-year-old welders wear.
It's
to
burgundy,
cover up the
Rob.
Scars
Rob,
on their arms or something.
It's shapely. It's burgundy.
Shapely?
Yeah, you look good in it. Or it looks good on
I
you.
I look like a big burgundy pear in it.
Anyway, welcome to yet another Tuesday night edition of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. And the phone number here is 749-1444. We're taking your calls all night long. We already have our first call, don't we? Hey, flip that back on. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, who is this?
This is Angelica.
Okay, what did you do this week?
What did I do this week? Well, let's see. I changed a lot of poopy diapers, fed my son.
You got a kid or?
We started solid foods this week.
Oh, your kid did?
Yeah.
You got a baby?
Rice cereal.
What's the name of your baby?
King Vitamin?
No, hardly. Jedediah. It means beloved of God.
Is that from the Bible?
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact.
Wasn't there a King Jedediah in the Old Testament? Had a lot of money and stuff?
I thought that was the name of the cereal. It was like Quaker Jedediah Flake.
No. His name is Jedediah. The cereal is Beechnut. So let's see, what else did I do this week?
Did you get on TV for any reason this week?
What?
Were you on TV for any reason this week?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was on TV.
Well, what a coincidence.
Yeah,
you're a star.
Well, our church erected a sign in protest of the Ku Klux Klan's cross.
Did you have the proper permits?
Yes, we have the proper permits.
How do you go about getting the proper permit?
You gotta suck up to somebody in City Hall.
But what's the process? You go down to City Hall, you say, I'd like to speak to
Mrs. Philpott.
Mrs. Philpott, everyone, jot that down.
Mrs. Candy Philpott.
Okay, I'm jotting that down.
She's a great lady. She's really got it all together, and she was real helpful. And so you just go, and you say, I'm from a nonprofit organization, and we want to put up a display. And so you got to give them, like...
Money? You got to give them money?
No, it's free.
Drugs?
You give them a blow-by-blow definition of what you want to put up, and a little diagram, and you're in. You're golden.
So what was your erection?
Our the church's erection was a sign. It's 4x4 plywood, and it has quotes from scripture. One of the quotes is from Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19, and it goes, consequently, my brothers, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but you are members of God's household and fellow citizens with God's people. And the other quote that is on it is from Romans 14:13, Paul's letter to the Romans. And it says, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way.
Now, you know, it's illegal to do that down at the Riverfront Stadium.
It is.
Yeah. There's a guy who went to Riverfront Stadium during the World Series 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
When the Reds were playing the eighth, held up a sign that said John 3:16. And the Reds took him to court.
Well, this is not Riverfront Stadium. It's at Fountain Square. It's directly opposite the cross.
And what church was it? What church you go to?
It's the First English Evangelical Lutheran Church.
And who had the idea for the...
Me.
Oh, it was all your idea? You're the mastermind?
Yeah.
Are you the pastor of the church, too?
No.
Who's the pastor of your church?
Pastor James Nelson.
Is he a nice fella?
He's a wonderful guy. He's really, he's very open-minded.
Did he baptize your kid?
Which is good. He's not your typical stodgy clergy, you know?
Stodgy clergy?
No, he's not stodgy clergy.
Is he the guy that baptized your kid?
What?
Did he baptize your kid?
No, the early pastor, the older pastor.
What's his name?
What?
What's his name?
What, the other pastor?
No, what's the your pastor's name?
Our pastor is James Nelson.
Does he have real long blonde hair?
For a man that's been there for 36 years. So, but this 36-year-old, the one that's been there for 36 years, retired.
Oh.
Because he was like a bajillion years old. So, but he's the one that baptized our son and didn't drop him in the baptismal font. So, he was cool too. Very open-minded. He's kind of a cross between a theologian and an aging hippie.
Okay.
So, let's see if I got this straight. You go down to Fountain Square, you hang up a sign with some Bible verses on,
right,
and you get on TV.
Well, you gotta have your church council approval. You gotta have a little service, which we did. And you gotta call the media and hype it.
Oh, so you called all these radio stations and TV stations and said, hey, we're going down to Fountain Square?
Yep.
Slut.
What did KKK say? Did the KKK have any reaction?
No, I don't think they will. As I said to the media, I really don't think they care what we do. And it was in response to their cross and, you know, to their perversion of the scripture. But I really don't think they'll have a reaction, you know, because face it, you know, I mean, people are tearing down their sign. If they go and tear down ours, people just react worse and it become a worse circus than it is.
Well, what kind of reaction were you hoping from the general public?
Well, I hope they read it. I hope that it gives people, particularly people in the community where our church is, our community, I hope it gives them, uplifts them. I really do. Because I think people feel so downtrodden and people are apathetic because they think that they can't do anything to combat this evil and this negativity and this perverseness.
Well, how do you feel about these redneck yahoo morons coming down from Hamilton or wherever the hell it is they're from and putting up a cross in Cincinnati like that?
Well, that's their right. That's their first.
Why don't they keep that crap in Hamilton?
Well,
I mean, these guys are from Hamilton. They should keep it in Hamilton.
Rob, you're from Hamilton. Why don't you just stay up there and do your own talk show?
Well, there's a lot of good folks.
Yeah,
in Hamilton.
I mean, that idea. The Chris Late Night Talk Show. What do you think, Jim?
I don't think it would fly in Hamilbama.
Is that even worse than Hamiltucky?
I've heard Hamiltucky.
But I really think that. I mean, they are God's children, too. We're all God's children. And forgive me for sounding like a Jesus freak, which I am, but we're all God's children, and I really pray for them. You know, I'm angry. I'm angry that they exist, that they put forth this hateful message. But I really pray for them. Pray that, you know, like Paul on the road to Tarsus, the scales will fall from their eyes.
How do you feel about the argument that the new Klan is a kinder, gentler Klan?
That's a load of crap.
What is that?
It's a big, you know, poopy diaper as far as I'm concerned.
We could read their lips if they didn't have a hood covering them.
Just as they cloak themselves and cover their faces, so they're covering who they are by this cross. They're cloaking themselves.
Was that you guys that put all the silly string all over their cross?
Excuse me, no, we didn't put silly string. The sign, you know, part of the sign's message is that there is a nonviolent way to do this. You know, violence is not the answer because violence in the name of peace is still violence. And, you know, what example are we setting? What are we really saying if we go and tear down this cross? Yes, I know people are angry. I was very angry when I found out about it. But violence is no way, you know? I mean, if you're getting the crap beat out of you by somebody who's, like, got a flaming cross in one hand and a crowbar in the other, okay, fine, fight, you know, for your life. But for this kind of thing, you know, there's really, you need to have a peaceful way of doing it.
Don't you think that the Ku Klux Klan is better off ignored?
No, I don't. Because if they're ignored, their message will be out there. They will always be a presence, whether it's a Ku Klux Klan or the kinder, gentler Klan or whatever, that message will be out there. And if you ignore it, that's all that people are going to see. And number one, you're going to get people who are going to be apathetic because they're going to think, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Nobody's doing anything about it. And number two, what are our children going to think? Oh, well, nobody's doing anything about this, so they must be okay. You know, or worse, they see the KKK with a cross and they think, oh, KKK, well, they're Christians, so Christianity must be a bad thing. You have to. We have an obligation to counter these messages. They have a right to put up their sign. We have an obligation to say this is wrong. So that's why I don't think they should be ignored.
Sounds to me like she just spoke her mind. What do you think, Rob?
She laid it on the line.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
What were you praying for when you were down there praying? What were you praying for when you were down there praying?
Well, we had a small service and prayed for an end to racism and prayed for the power of the that God would help heal racial tensions. I think we sang a hymn too, "In Christ There Is No North or South." I think the problem in this country is that we put the power of politics above the power of prayer. And I think there's three things we need to do. We need to believe in the power of God, because God is a powerful God. He created us. He created this world, and he will heal things. And we need to pray for peace. But the third thing we need to do in conjunction with praying for peace and believing in God is that we need to work for justice. And that's what this is about. I mean, it's one thing to pray. Yes, prayer, the power of prayer is very strong. You also have to work with that. Martin Luther said, pray Martin like Lucifer? Everything depends on God, which it does, and work like everything depends on you. It's really kind of simple.
Yeah, look where it got him. You got him thrown out of the church, didn't it?
What?
Got him thrown out of the church and killed, didn't it?
Well,
that's another
the old
story.
Church.
That's another program, I guess.
Yeah.
Angelica, thanks for coming on the radio after you've been on TV. You've proven to the world that Chris and Rob is a step up. What channel was it?
Actually, it was two channels. It was Channel 9 and Channel 12.
Who talked to you?
What?
What were the reporters that talked to you?
I didn't catch their names. I didn't even really think I'd be on TV. I said, go talk to our pastor, and my pastor said, go talk to her.
Which is more fun, TV or radio?
I think radio. Well, you guys are fun and intelligent, and I don't mean to bash the news, the video media, but you say something, and then they'll say back to you, so what you're saying is, and
so what you're saying is Chris
and
Rob is better than TV.
It's not what you're saying.
What you're saying is what you can do something on radio you can't do on TV, which is this. Right?
What was that?
What did it sound like to you, honey?
It sounded like you filled up your diaper, dear.
So tell your kid to say goodbye to us.
My kid is sleeping right now.
Wake him up.
No, I'm not going to wake him up.
We can wake him up.
It's time for him to be fed anyway.
No, it's not. He just stayed a half an hour.
Give him a bowl of tricks.
How old is he?
He's some 5 months old.
Does he like Ted Nugent yet?
No. We
Let's find out.
Ted Nugent. He likes Frank Sinatra.
Figure.
And he likes Unplunk.
Yeah. Hey, baby, tell me why you hang around. Ain't got time for kissing, I'm too busy messing in this town. All your pretty women, yes, I'm far in between.
So it's Christmas Day, right? And I'm going over to Grandma's, and we're having deviled eggs and cold meat sandwiches and pork and beans and everything. And all my aunts and uncles and little cousins are there. And then my one little cousin, she comes up to me and she says, "Hey, Chris." I said, "What?" She said, "Guess what I got for Christmas?" I said, "What's that?" She goes, "I got two tickets, front row tickets to see damn Yankees." I go, "Oh, so you like Ted Nugent, huh?" She says, "Ted who?" I said, "Ted Nugent."
You better do it one time tonight. Tonight we're going to do a little rock and roll, a little rock and roll there, running the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're rocking rock steady with Fast Steady on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Baby!
Yeah, something like that. And so she'd never heard of Ted Nugent before, so I played her Cat Scratch Fever, and she fell in love. Fast Eddie, you're on the air.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Nuge, these kids, man. These days, man, there's no accounting for
taste.
That's
right. If they haven't heard of the Nuge, they have to be educated.
They haven't heard of the Nuge, but they've heard of damn Yankees.
Oh, yeah, and Winger.
And Winger. Okay, so what's on your mind tonight, Fast Eddie?
And those blonde mutant twins there. Well... One aspect of this Klan thing really bugs me. Really bugs me.
Stick it in your craw, huh?
Why does, yeah.
Getting your gander up?
Yeah. When I first moved here...
Irritating the bejeebers out of you?
No. When I... What?
Nothing.
When I first moved here, this was an alien landscape, and I...
Mm-hmm. You're from Boston, right?
Right. So, but now I've gotten used to it and everything, but even though once in a while things jolt me, like things seem normal for a few days... And then I run into something like this Klan stuff, and then I realize, wait, I really am out here. I really am out in redneck country. This is real. This isn't something I'm just seeing on TV, man.
He's just
going
to rag and on like, Cincinnati and hang up on
no,
that.
I mean...
If we want to hear about somebody ragging on the Midwest, we'll just go back and read Henry James or something.
This is the North. This is what surprised me. This Ohio's the North. So what's going on here? Why is this stuff allowed to happen? Why aren't they kicked back down to... Tobacco Road, where they belong.
What are you talking about, the Klan?
Yeah.
I thought you were a libertarian, Eddie. My gosh, what a contradiction. How can you be a libertarian but want to deny certain groups the freedom of speech?
I want to deny the Klan their freedom of speech because they're brain damaged.
Well, you can't just go around passing.
All right, here's what bothers me.
Maybe somebody's
in
your brain damage.
Are you going to let me talk? Say something?
Go ahead.
It's our show.
Okay.
Quit taking these enormous pregnant pauses you're prone to tonight.
Well, what bothers my libertarian sensibilities is that Cincinnati, the population of Cincinnati, allows these yokels in the outlying areas to always dictate to them like this. These Citizens for Community Values jerks, these Klan people, the fact that you can't buy goddamn Playboy in Cincinnati. I mean... And it's not because Cincinnatians.
Who wants
are
to
like
buy that,
that
smut anyway?
It's because these Cincinnatians let these people in Nowhereville who come to Cincinnati once every 20 years see a black person and die of a stroke dictate to them. Let them dictate their whole culture, their whole everything. Why does this allowed to happen? Why are these yokels from these nothing towns allowed to run Cincinnati?
You call Hamilton a nothing town?
No, I'm talking about these smaller towns than that. I'm talking about these nowhere. These people who...
So you're trying to tell me that the people in Ipswich have nothing to do with the politics that go down in Boston?
Oh, they do, but they don't try to dictate what the people in
Boston... They can vote too, though, right? In Ipswich, you can still vote in Boston County?
No. Boston's about 30 miles from Ipswich. The only way Ipswich people would have an influence is that they send a state representative to the state house. That's about it.
Okay, so there you go.
But Cincinnatians let these people from nowhere who know nothing, who... I hear people say stuff. I mean, people who live only a few miles from Cincinnati say things like, "Yeah, my dad was down here. It's the first time he ever been to the big city." And he's talking about Cincinnati. These nowhere yokels dictate to these people. They determine what's... Simon Lees himself is from Nowhereville. Who knows where?
Where's he from, then?
So what, if you don't live downtown and want to pay the exorbitant rates that you have to pay for rent and other
Mount
things
Adams
downtown?
Mount Adams is expensive, not downtown.
I mean, you're just better off not living in the city.
But what I'm saying is, why do Cincinnati residents let people from Cornhuskerville run their town? Determine what their community standards are. Yeah. And this is how it happens.
Hey, something happened here in the studio. We got to send a big congratulations out to the lovely Jim who's answering the phones for being ingenuitive and...
Attaboy, Jim. Just give him a big attaboy. Right. Attaboy, Jim.
Attaboy, Jim. Shut up! Okay, continue, Eddie.
Well, what? See, what bugged me, what made me call you is that someone mentioned these Klan people aren't even from Cincinnati.
They're from the main guys from Hamilton, right? And Dwight.
Yeah, and I would bet most of them are not. Do not live just like all these other jerks, like Citizens for Community Values and Cy Lee's baby puts on a sheet and goes and parties with the boys on his off time. I mean, why I wish Cincinnatians would take charge of their community and not let these corn husking yokels determine what are their community standards, what are their community values. Whenever I hear a talk show and they're arguing about issues like why is Cincinnati such a tight ass, censored to the gills town, you get these people from nowhere calling in saying, my standards, we are a very conservative community. And they're from nowhere. They're from hours drive from here. And they're allowed to have all this control. They're allowed to be the judge.
Where's CCV from? Where are they located?
They're located out in nowhere.
I thought they were on Reading Road, or no.
No, their main location is way the hell out of Cincinnati somewhere. Way the hell out. And almost all their members are from way the hell out, too. And someone who's pretty familiar with these type of people...
Well, hold on. Isn't that weird, though, Eddie? What you're saying is...
Does that seem weird to you?
See, like, the CCV tries to pull this shit in places like these nowherevilles like Hamilton, and they get thrown out of town. So they got to go to some stupid moron yokel town like Cincinnati where they get stuff accomplished.
This is what I'm saying. Why do Cincinnatians allow this to happen? I mean, someone who's pretty familiar with this type of mentality explained it to me. Very simple. I'm talking about a lifelong resident. Said to me, here's what happens. These people go to Cincinnati once every 10 years. Every time they're in Cincinnati, once every decade, they see a bunch of black people, and that about does it. That about does it. That just the sight of black people just about gives them a heart attack.
And so they want to stomp out pornography because they see black people?
And it leads to, Cincinnati, I saw a lot of black people there. That must mean it's a big, evil city. So it's a big, evil Sodom, Gomorrah. And, you know, of course, they got their Bible all backwards and fucking sideways, and they don't know anything about anything of what they're talking about. And they're just, this is what I'm saying, they're this simple-minded that they join some organization like the Klan and think they're actually participating in real political activism here, when actually they're brain damaged. I consider the Klan to be no more legitimate organization than some skinhead with a swastika tattooed in his skull. They're about the same mentality. They're trying for this respectability in real apathetic places like Cincinnati. They're given this legitimacy. They're considered a legitimate political group, and they're a bunch of brain-damaged, uneducated, manure-sucking...
But as long as these brain-damaged, manure-sucking morons can go through the proper channels, get the proper permits, they have every right to put up a display.
If they're not Cincinnati.
All they have to do is call Candy Philpott down at City Hall.
But how does...
Hey, Eddie, why don't you call Candy Philpott down at City Hall, see if you can erect a cump statue.
So you want to make some kind of ordinance against...
No.
People who don't live within the city limits of Cincinnati, so all these Norwoodians couldn't come down here and dictate policy?
See, it would make sense that their whole issue here, their whole point they're arguing is they have a right, because it's their community, to wreck their Klan cross, right? But if they're not Cincinnatians, they don't have that right. What right does someone who doesn't live in a community have to come here and say, well, I want to put my brain-damaged Ku Klux Klan cross in your community?
All right, Eddie. Good point, and we'll bat it around a little bit.
Okay.
See ya. The phone number here is 749-1444. That's 7491-444. Get in on it while you can.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together,
we're talking to Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
What's on your mind tonight, guy?
Nothing much. Aren't you guys going to ask me how we did?
Who's we?
Beeljack.
Beeljack? Is that the name of your band?
Yeah.
You're in a band?
Well, yeah. I love how you guys like play that off like you really don't know.
Yeah, so you're the guitar player, huh?
Yeah.
Your band had a gig tonight?
Yep.
Down at Bogart's?
Rob, you have a question for him, don't you?
It was more like a contest thing.
Did you win?
Music is not a sport. Thank you.
We don't know yet. Boy, but let me tell you, I am tired of trendy people. It was like every band there, no lie, did a cover of either Pantera, Helmet, Pearl Jam, or Nirvana.
Oh, man, I love
what the hell do you
bands.
Expect from little high school kids?
And I mean, it's like, we're the only band that didn't do no covers. And
I thought you worshipped Pantera.
I hate Pantera.
Did you get any ye?
I really don't like Pantera.
Did you get any ye?
I don't know, man. But anyway, there's like one, like, there's two death metal bands.
Did you get any Snay?
And one of them was really cool.
Fuzz?
Yeah.
You did? You got some?
Yeah.
You got some fuzz?
Yeah.
You're all right, man. You're a rock and roller. You're a death metal band, though?
No, I mean,
you mean
no,
death metal like Suicide or death metal like, yo, you're
this
down?
This band, they're like death metal, but they were really cool for death metal. And plus, dude,
is he saying death or death?
Is that death as in dead or death as in Def Leppard?
Like Deicide and stuff.
Like okay.
Like death, like
but
Suicide.
I mean, I really don't like that stuff, but they're really good. And plus, he let me use his amp because my amp broke. So that's another reason why it's really cool.
How'd your amp break?
I blew it.
Oh, man, you had that Les Paul cranked up to 11, huh?
Oh, yes. And then, like, every other band...
Hey, can you do a windmill like that Pete Townsend character used to do? A
minute to go.
I don't know. Mm. But anyway, hold up. Quit patronizing me so I can tell my story.
Hurry up. You only got 45 seconds.
I just really hate trendy bands and stuff. And we were the only band that didn't do no covers. And there's this band called Johnny Band, and they really sucked. And I hope they're listening, because you guys suck. But... about the Ku Klux Klan.
Hey, man, music is not a sport, man. Everybody,
30 seconds.
But these guys come on and were like, they came on and did Helmet, and like, this, I hate people who cover Helmet because nobody knows how to cover them. But anyway, about the Ku Klux Klan.
Because Helmet's just awful by themselves.
15 seconds to go, Sheldon.
Hold up, about the Ku Klux Klan. Man, don't be doing that to me, man. You gave Fast Eddie all this time. All
right, go ahead, Al. Go ahead.
You gave him all that time to talk about local yokels and go off on about Cincinnati. And let me just tell you that the Ku Klux Klan are nothing but a bunch of white devils, and that you just need to overlook them because they're stupid.
But what about Angelica's point where if we overlook them, that's sending a message to the little bitty kids that's
like
saying,
you.
Well, these guys must be okay because nobody's protesting against them.
Well, it's pretty much like this. They're hiding behind the Constitution, and the Constitution was written by a bunch of racist people who owned slaves. They were women hating, black people hating.
Alexander Hamilton didn't own any slaves.
Huh? Slave owning, black women raping bastards. And even one of them said, hey, we need to have a revolution every 20 years.
Thomas Jefferson was in Paris while the Constitution was being written. He had nothing to do with it.
Well, and?
And he's the one that said we need to have a revolution every 20 years.
And also, in the city anyway, Dwight Tillery is nothing but an Uncle Tom, house Negro, compromising person who needs to be terminated.
Now, who said that? Who said that?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Because, see...
as long as you're not quoting somebody.
It's really... it's like...
you know, we're going to run that back when we interview Dwight.
How dare... why is he an Uncle Tom?
Because...
hey, I mean, Dwight, if you're out there, give us a ring.
Because when... black people today, and especially in the situation that they're in and the oppression that they're in, believe me, I know, because that's all that, you know what I'm saying, the oppression that they're in, they don't need somebody to say, okay, and tell the white people what they want to hear. They need somebody to tell what is the truth.
And what is the truth?
The truth is
do you have a monopoly on the truth, Sheldon?
No, but, I mean, just something that I believe is the truth, and it's my own opinion. Everybody's allowed to have their own opinion.
So, but except for Dwight Twillery.
No, he's allowed to have his own opinion, too, and my opinion of him is that he's an Uncle Tom, and his opinion of me could be something derogatory also, and I respect his opinion. But that's just my opinion of him. We need somebody, not like Al Sharpton, now, that's a little too messed up. But, I mean, somebody... they can say, hey, you know, black people have been oppressed for over 400 years. not only physically but mentally.
Well, hasn't Tyrone Yates been speaking out pretty heavily against it and saying it shouldn't be up there? Councilman Yates, hasn't he been kind of saying the things?
Of course they're going to say that because that's what everybody wants to hear.
No, he's been saying the stuff that you want to hear.
But it's like, they're just, it's, I mean, I really don't know anything about Tony Yates, so I can't really say. But I'm just saying, right now, like, people need somebody to stand up and say, look, this is what we want, and this is what we need. You know what I'm saying? You know, black people, we need more education.
Hey, Jeremy, where do you get off telling black people what they need?
Because I go to an all-black school. I've been a minority my whole life. I know how it is to be a minority. Okay, number one, and I really, I've educated in a black way, and I really don't like white people. I'm not saying this is what you need. I'm just saying, I'm speaking.
You're a martyr, Jeremy.
I'm speaking as some, as kind of an outside opinion. Black people need somebody to stand up and say, this is what we need. We need more education in inner city schools. I go to an inner city school, and believe me, we need a lot more education and a lot more discipline.
You're proof positive of that.
And you need to get rid of, need to get rid of stuff like affirmative action, because that's just basically telling black people that they're too stupid to get jobs, so they need help from the white man.
Pat Buchanan behind you all the way on that one.
And I mean, it's, you know, it's just all that kind of stuff. There's so much in, there's so much subconscious racism taught throughout the media and throughout the school system that, I mean, the whole thing needs to be restructured.
Okay, we value your opinion. We got to move
Jeremy.
On.
Hey, right. We hope your band gets a platinum record.
Oh.
They keep writing Beal Jack. Beal on one hand and Jack on the other hand. They'll get that platinum record.
749-1444 is the phone number here. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and it's 20 minutes to 3 o'clock in the a.m.
You know, most people don't like to generalize, but Jeremy there just went and generalized. He hates bands that do helmet covers.
He's just into broad generalizations everywhere.
So what do we got working here?
We got Dave up next.
We got Dave.
Hey. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
What's up?
What's up with you?
Not much, man. Hanging out.
Uh-huh.
So, Beal Jack, man.
Beal Jack? Were you at the show tonight?
I'm the drummer, man.
Oh, this is a drummer? We got the whole band calling us up here?
Oh, man. What'd you think of those Pantera cover bands?
Huh? What was that?
What'd you think of those Pantera cover bands?
I don't know, man. They just ain't too hip, you know what I'm saying?
No, they ain't there.
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. I mean, the reason why Beal Jack doesn't do covers is because I'm not, I mean, this is me personally, but I think the other guys would agree with this.
I heard the percussionists couldn't keep up when they did stuff like that.
We're too, like myself, I mean, I read philosophy and everything, and I just can't go about copying somebody's other stuff. And
you read philosophy?
Huh?
Who's your favorite philosopher?
Nietzsche.
Hey, man.
What?
Jeremy called once, and he said they wanted to do Pantera, but the percussionists couldn't keep up.
Nah, man.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you.
Let me tell you something about Pantera. He's fake, man. He uses a whole bunch of gadgets and triggering systems and all that. Man, fuck that bullshit.
Thanks, Dave. 749-1444. That's 7491-444.
It's hard to believe that a rock and roll band in the 90s would use computers to help them out.
Or such language.
My goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. So have you seen the cross, Chris? Have you been down there?
I have not been down there.
I went down by it Sunday on the way to the Bengals game. You know, I drove right by Fountain Square on the way to park at Procter & Gamble for a buck. And
that's a bargain, too.
Oh, I know. I always park at P&G for a buck.
You shouldn't have to pay to park. It's my opinion that no one should have to pay to park.
So yeah, I was kind of ticked. So anyway, but it wasn't up. So it was Sunday afternoon, I guess like 1 o'clock, and the cross wasn't up, so I didn't see it. Jay, go ahead. You're on with Chris and Rob, you lucky devil, you.
Jay, what's the most you ever paid to park your car?
I'd say about $250.
$250? Yeah. In New York, it'd be like $25, Holmes.
Well, I'm glad I'm not from New York, then.
What's on your mind tonight?
What's my mind? First, I want to say Fast Eddie is about an idiot, man.
Okay.
Go ahead and say that.
Put down one vote for Fast Eddie for idiot. Thanks. Okay, what else?
I don't know, man. I guess black people, basically, they're people. They should be able to do this for anything they want to, man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As far as I'm concerned.
All right, put down one vote for black people. Do anything they want. All right? Okay, we got you covered.
And, I guess that's about it, Holmes.
Okay, well, thanks, Holmes. 749-1444, that's 7491-444.
So I saw the big nativity scene though down there.
Was it beautiful?
And I saw the menorah. I couldn't believe it. I mean, the menorah was like so small. I mean, I was expecting like these really huge structures. I don't know. And the menorah is maybe 6-8 feet tall. And I was like, man, this is the thing that started all the controversy. They had to put this up on Fallon. Pretty soon, there's not going to be room for any of the freaks to hang out, any of the jugglers, or any of the bad magicians, or any of the guys singing songs, playing out of tune guitars.
Break dancers.
John, go ahead. You're on with Chris and Rob. Hello, John. John.
Fix
Johnny.
It. Fix it. We'll leave it on the air. Just tell him.
John, turn your radio up. John?
Yeah?
Turn your radio up.
We're working on this problem right now. John has had a little problem tonight.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Obviously, there's a little interference with the satellite feed.
John's been imbibing a little too much tonight.
We've got Jim working on the problem. Technician Jim, who has figured out how to put someone on hold and talk on the other line tonight. And that deserved a big attaboy, and so we gave it to him a little bit earlier if you missed out on that.
Jim's got it together. He's all perky and everything, too. All right, is he with us?
John, you there?
Yeah.
All right. John.
Hi.
How you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
That's good. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say that we should do to the Ku Klux Klan that what we did to the Nazis during World War II. Because we're doing about the same thing.
We should land on their beach?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We should let their activities go unobserved for about 6-7 years until they get totally out of hand?
No. Take control right now.
Just grab the bull by the balls and take charge.
Yeah.
What do you suggest we do?
Just clear them out.
Totally. Let's get some specifics. If we find out you're in the Klan, what do we do to you?
Burn me at the stake.
We burn you at the stake if you're in the Klan.
Even worse.
Wouldn't that make them martyrs and make people sympathetic toward their warped ideas?
Well, not really. Not unless they're a clue, too. Not unless they're part of the Klan, too.
Anybody who synthesizes so mark down, one, burn them at the stake. Give them the Joan of Arc treatment, huh?
Yeah.
The old Joan of Arc. Anything else?
That's about it.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Say the phone number, Rob.
749-1444, Chris and Rob, WAIS.
Say the name of the show.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Say all the members of Cheap Trick.
Robin Zander,
mm-hmm.
Rick Nielsen, Tom Peterson, and Bun E. Carlos!
More and more, I'm thinking about love. Love it all, I'm thinking of. Some people do and some people don't. Some people will and say they won't. More and more, I'm thinking about the more I think, the worse it gets.
She loves to ride.
This New Year's, instead of drinking up, try looking up, suggests Jack Horkheimer, the star hustler and the director of the Miami Space Transit Planetarium, because at midnight on New Year's Eve, the brilliant orange-red planet Mars, which will only be 1 week away from opposition on January 7, 1993, will be almost directly overhead for most observers in the Northern Hemisphere. The reason for Mars's brilliancy and almost overhead position at midnight is due to the fact that whenever a planet is at opposition, it is directly opposite the sun in the sky as seen from the planet Earth. Which means that as you look up at Mars, which means that if you're looking up at Mars overhead at midnight on New Year's Eve, the sun will be directly beneath your feet. Go figure that out. Which further means that on New Year's Eve, through the first 2 weeks of January, Mars will rise in the east as the sun sets in the west and will travel slowly up the eastern sky until it reaches its highest point at midnight. And after midnight, will slowly descend in the western sky, setting in the west as the sun rises in the east. I'm going to check it out.
I've heard Mars was brilliant, but I've talked to it, and it's really one of the more stupid planets.
You should see it when it's in opposition.
Venus, Saturn.
It happens about every 2 years. Mars comes into opposition between the Earth and the Sun, or in opposition with the Earth and the Sun, not between, approximately every 2 years, or 26 months apart, and at that said time is always the closest it ever is to the Earth. However, Mars can be closer at some oppositions than others, and although Mars was closer and brighter during its opposition in 1988, it will not be this close and bright again until its opposition of May 1999.
Mercy.
Frequently, however, when Mars is at a close and bright opposition, it appears low in the heavens. But this opposition of New Year's and early 1993 finds Mars at its highest point in the heavens, thus easiest for viewing, until the opposition of January 2nd, 2040 AD, almost half a century from now.
When we're all gonna be dead!
We'll all be dead by then, probably.
Not I. I'm gonna live forever.
This is a great opportunity to view Mars, especially if you received a telescope for Christmas.
Sure would be.
And looking up at midnight New Year's Eve is certainly safer and a saner way to ring in the new year than drinking up. Although, try telling the Star Hustler that.
I don't know. I'm drinking. You'll be looking up in the sky and some drunk will run over you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, go ahead, Brian. You're on with Chris and Rob. Brian.
Yeah?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Speak up a little.
Yeah.
Huh?
Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Is everything all right?
Yeah.
Should we send an ambulance or anything?
Are you like up in your bedroom and you're speaking so quiet because you don't want your parents to hear you?
Huh?